morning. Time to get up and go to work.
The Power Pack Morning Zoo. Are you kidding me?
It's my life.
Fire. It's the greatest radio show ever.
Good morning and welcome.
Dan Mickley.
Oh my God, he's from Chicago. That's amazing.
Vince Marotta.
Oh, why? Who's better than Vince?
Sarah Cazell. And Jerry Carlin. It can only be
Jerry. Arizona Sports, the local sports leader.
Mickley and Marotta mornings.
Shout out to Dan Mickley, my boy. Him and Vince. Okay.
Good morning. Happy Tuesday, Valley sports fans. We begin today's show with a little reminder. Sports can be cruel. Because today, Vinny, the basketball world is pointing their finger and laughing at us and our super team.
Mm-hmm. It's happening.
It's happening.
They're not really doing the same thing to the New Orleans Pelicans who got swept. They're doing it a little bit to the Lakers.
A little bit.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure today's all going to be about the future of LeBron James. I think the laughing at us ended as soon as the Lakers got eliminated.
Good. Yeah, you're right.
It didn't end. It got muted. Yeah,
it got muted.
Tracked in a different way.
But I sure felt it like middle of the day yesterday through early evening. Yeah, I kind of felt that. Kind of like, ha, ha, ha. How'd that work out for you, PHX?
We knew this wasn't going to work back in October.
Right, yeah. Yeah.
Well, one thing people hate nowadays is people who think they're smarter than everybody else and do something that's sort of different. So in the current era, to go all in on a big three when there's plenty of experts that said it wasn't going to work, they cannot wait for it to not work so that they could laugh at you.
Yeah, but as Vinny said, nobody was laughing when this went down. Now, there were people who said, they're taking that Bradley Beal contract. What?
Yeah.
But
that's what people focused on.
That's
or went as far to say, well, that's risky.
Yeah. Right.
What if it doesn't work, they're screwed.
There's a lot of hindsight going. There's a lot of people who say they knew.
Yeah. You should have listened to me.
Make it stop. Yeah, you should have listened to me. Yeah. So Matt Ishbia is now getting his first real taste of kind of being in the blender a little bit here.
Mm-hmm.
And we don't know where the future is going to bring our basketball team.
It's the second blender Suns reference in as many weeks.
All right, Farron, are you aware of this? Or are you just lost in the wrestling world that you live in? Are you? Yeah.
Yeah, your boy Patrick Mahomes was on WWE last night.
I'm sure he was.
Was he? Yeah. Okay.
Man, how did I miss that?
Yeah, I don't know. Gee, I guess we were watching live basketball, real sports. Or maybe the Diamondbacks Dodgers. So how was Patrick Mahomes on WWE? Was he good?
I haven't watched it.
Oh, you didn't watch it yet?
No.
Okay.
It's on tap for today.
Yeah, that's my afternoon viewing. Sit in a chair in my room and fall asleep while it's on about 1 o'clock today.
Is that what you do? Is that kind of how your biorhythms kind of work?
It's like I don't take naps, like scheduled naps, but I usually watch like DVR stuff or just whatever, SportsCenter or something, and then I kind of just like fade off. And then I wake up 20 minutes later and I'm terribly groggy and feel awful.
Yeah.
I'm like, why did I... That for 20 minutes.
Yeah.
We know that feeling.
All right, start the show, Ferret.
The Splash.
Splash.
The stories making waves in the sports world.
The Splash. Cannonball.
Cannonball coming.
The Splash, brought to you by Presidential Pools, Arizona's number one pool builder. See why at presidentialpools.com.
Some of the members of the Phoenix Suns conducted some exit interviews and final media sessions on Monday, just a day after the Suns were swept out of the playoffs by the Minnesota Timberwolves. Guard Bradley Beal talked about the disappointment of it all, considering the expectations of the season. Beal was also honest about his Game 4 performance, saying it felt like he could do no right and couldn't find the game in a way. Grayson Allen was asked if he thought lacking a true point guard plagued the team, and he said he felt like if there was a point guard in place, it would take the ball out of the hands of Booker, Durant, and Beal, and at its core, that doesn't make sense. Oh, what a dilemma. Beal also said he enjoyed playing for head coach Frank Vogel this season and felt like he was getting baited into answering a question about the coach's future that made him uncomfortable. There has been much speculation about Vogel's job security, including a report from The Athletic that said the Suns would evaluate the coaching position following their playoff exit.
Well, okay, so, and the latest is that Matt Ishbia and James Jones have been relocated. They're both doing a press conference tomorrow. Now, you heard that Frank Vogel's part of that as well?
Frank Vogel
and James Jones, I believe, will speak together. I believe.
I thought it was Matt Ishbia and James Jones.
Let me look into
because the thinking is, if it's the latter, could a firing happen today?
I believe you're correct.
Who's correct? You just looked at
Dan Bickley.
Okay. All right.
I think it's
so if that's the case, conceivably you could have a basketball coach getting fired today. Conceivably.
Okay. We'll keep an eye on that.
There's all sorts of smoke.
Just confirmed.
Coming from all sorts of places.
This was sent out by the Suns. Updated information. It will be Matt Ishbia and James Jones speaking tomorrow.
Okay.
Oh, yeah.
Together.
Well, guess what's going to happen, kids? Last night in the NBA playoffs, the Celtics took a commanding 3-1 lead in their series with Miami, winning 102-88 in Game 4. Derek White hit 8 threes and scored 38 points. Celts did lose Kristaps Porzingis to a calf injury. His status iffy for the next game. The Thunder are through to the second round. They complete the 4-game sweep of New Orleans, winning Game 4, 97-89. Shea Gilgeous-Alexander at 24 points and 10 rebounds for OKC. They will await the winner of the Clippers-Mavericks series, and the Lakers are done. Jamal Murray shook off a calf injury just to play in Game 5, and then went out and scored 32 points. Calmly hit a 14-foot jumper with 4 seconds left to give the Nuggets a 108-106 win and a trip to the second round. Denver will face Minnesota in the conference semifinals, and I think that's going to be a hell of a series.
So do I. Yeah. Yes.
Tonight, the Knicks host the Sixers. Chance to close out that series in Game 5 at 4 o'clock on TNT. At 5 o'clock, a pivotal Game 5 in Cleveland between the Cavs and the Magic. That series knotted up at 2. You can catch that at 5 o'clock on NBA TV. And the Bucks facing elimination tonight in Game 5 on their home floor at Five Serve Forum against the Indiana Pacers. TNT has that broadcast. That game tips at 6:30. The Diamondbacks could not get it going again against the Los Angeles Dodgers in a game the manager, Torrey Lovello, called the pitching unacceptable. They registered exactly 0 strikeouts in the game and walked 8 batters. Yeah. They lose 8-4 in the opener.
I saw that stat. I heard Sarah say it again this morning. Only the third time in history their pitching staff failed to strike out a dude in a game.
First time for the Dodgers since 2006 that they haven't struck out in a game.
And first time in 12 years that any team in entire Major League Baseball has had that many walks without a strikeout at all.
Yeah, 8-plus, no strikeout.
That series continues tonight. Yay! At Chase Field. Jordan Montgomery on the mound for the D-backs against right-hander Landon Knack. I believe it's Knack. It's not Knack, is it? I didn't look it up.
I only mentioned Jordan Montgomery.
First pitch is at 6:40. Pregame coverage gets underway at 6 here on Arizona Sports on 98.7 and the Arizona Sports app. Just days after the 2024 NFL draft, the Cardinals continued to add to their roster. They signed 3 undrafted free agents, inking North Carolina defensive lineman Miles Murphy, NC State long snapper Joe Shimko, who's the Patrick Manley Award winner as the nation's top long snapper. I learned about that yesterday.
I didn't know that such an award existed.
Yeah, we do.
How do you grade long snappers?
I guess if you don't have any bad snaps, you get a good grade. Are there analytics like snap speed and depth and
spin rate on the
ball? Yeah, right. Radius between each leg.
They also signed Colorado wide receiver Xavier Weaver, who had 68 catches for 908 yards and 4 touchdowns for head coach Deion Sanders last year.
Has there ever been this many people named Xavier drafted at one time?
You were pointing that out. I didn't look up the number in the NFL draft.
Just felt like that name came up a lot.
Yeah.
Lots of Xaviers. Is it more Xaviers or more Jadens or Jalens?
Ooh, a lot of Jadens, too. You're right.
I contend by the year 2050, 70% of the NBA will be named Jaden or Jalen. It's pretty close now.
There's going to be a president, Jaden. or Jalen or Aiden.
Yes.
Uh-huh. Oh,
Braden.
Not soon enough.
No, no. Yeah. I was going to say in about 20 years, but probably more in about 60 years.
Bobby Hurley at ASU basketball got a huge recruit in the fold on Monday. They land five-star recruit big man Jaden Quintance, who is the number two center prospect in the entire class of 2024. Jayden? Yeah, Jaden. Eighth-ranked player overall. He had committed to Kentucky, but decommitted after head coach John Calipari left for Arkansas. Highest-rated recruit in ASU men's basketball history.
How about that?
6'10", 230 pounds, 16 years old. Turned 17 in July. He's reclassifying, so he's going to play college basketball as a 17-year-old.
Yeah.
And Kalen Boswell did that for U of A.
And he is...
Kalen Boswell.
In other related news, Bobby Hurley now has 6 cents left in his NIL jar.
The Kansas City Chiefs have given Travis Kelce... Have you heard of this guy, Travis Kelce?
Yeah, I have.
He got a two-year contract worth $34.25 million. Ezekiel Elliott back with the Cowboys. He signed a one-year deal on Monday. Last year with the Patriots, Elliott ran for 642 yards, averaged a career low, 3.5 yards per carry. There you go. There is your splash for Tuesday, April 30th. And I have to put this in on a selfish note. Our long office nightmare continues. I believe this is day 7 without soap in the honor men's room. So I will be leaving a note today. Because, come on, people.
Is it really?
Do
you need me to go steal some from the
women's room? No. I want to go office space on the cleaning crew. What exactly is it that you do here?
Yeah.
There you go.
And yeah. Also,
how about it?
A public service announcement not to shake Vince's hand right now.
There's soap in other bathrooms.
Okay. Yeah.
Yes. But you know, not in the bathroom that we use during the show. Coming up, Suns talking to the media after getting swept. We'll tell you some of what the headlines are next. It's Bickley and Murata Mornings here on Arizona Sports, the local sports leader.
Hey, it's Luke. After getting swept in the first round, how are Suns players reacting to being the first team out of the NBA playoffs? We get going at 10 a.m. It's Wolf and Luke on Arizona Sports.
I think Frank's a good coach. I think Frank's a great coach. I think he's a proven, obviously, winner. He has a ring behind him. That's not really a question I like answering because I'm not responsible for coaches having jobs, being hired, or being fired or whatever. I love the staff that we had. For me, this was like an open book for me because it was new. Frank's new. Staff was new. So I was going into everything with just an open mindset, open, you know, just welcoming everything and learning kind of everybody along the fly. And Frank's an awesome guy, and he's a great coach, you know. So whether, you know, what that looks like is not up to me. I know you're really baiting into a question I don't like.
That's Bradley Beal. The question was, should Vogel be back? And
yeah.
54 seconds of saying he's a great coach, love the staff.
Yeah.
Never went as far to say that he should be back. And, you know, Bradley Beal's right. It's not his place to say yes. But, you know, a lot of times when there is smoke, Bick, if there is some favor in the locker room for a head coach, they will stand on the table and say, absolutely, he should be back. Yeah. We have not heard that.
I really want to get into this today because, as we said, this could come down today. If Matt Ishbia wants to move off of Frank Vogel, this could come down today prior to James Jones and Matt Ishbia meeting with the media tomorrow. Or it may not. Or maybe Frank Vogel was right in his alleged vote of confidence for Matt Ishbia. And allow me to explain. When you look at this basketball team, I think we all look at the team and the flaws and the fact that some issues never got corrected. And we're like, we really expected a lot more from a head coach and somebody who had a lot more control over the room. But what if this really isn't all on Frank Vogel? What if this is a very, very difficult team to coach because you don't have two of the three big three basically in your corner? So in other words, if Devin Booker isn't feeling this system for whatever reason, and he has every reason to feel that way given the fact that there is no point guard here, and if Kevin Durant was hard to reach, and there have been many instances that would lead you to believe that maybe Frank Vogel and KD don't exactly vibe, and that's putting it mildly, then you've got to ask yourself, who is to blame here? Is it the coach or is it players who will not accept coaching, who will not listen to coaching? Then you've got to ask, if you're Matt Ishbia, how will it look if I fire another coach? Bam, bam. Is anybody going to want to come work for me? Then you've got to ask yourself, if the big three is going to come return intact next year, do you even have a choice? And the answer to the last part to me is you don't have a choice. You need a new voice in here. If the big three is going to be back intact next year, in my opinion, you don't have a choice.
I tend to agree with that because you've got 86 games of track record now. And like I said yesterday, it's not like you show up the first day of training camp and, oh, you know, we're going to start fresh now. Like everybody's just going to wipe away their memory banks of what happened in the 23-24 season. It just doesn't work that way. You know what? We were all at fault last year. Square one. You don't do that with a 36-year-old Kevin Durant. You don't do that with a 10-year veteran in Devin Booker.
No.
You don't do that with a Bradley Beal.
No.
So I tend to think the way that you do. And look, Frank Vogel spoke after the game on Sunday night. He didn't speak to the media yesterday. He's not scheduled to speak to the media, which is strange for a coach not to have an exit session with the media to kind of look back at the season. You know, you can kind of read the tea leaves. The only I mean, there is some support from the public and Frank Vogel, but mostly it's look at the players. It's the players' responsibility. Rachel Nichols on the Bully Ball podcast stood up for Frank Vogel a little bit.
They're already trying to blame the coach. It took 2 minutes after the final buzzer sound for stories to leak and tweets to leak about, oh, players unhappy with coach. Bradley Beal didn't shake Frank Vogel's hand. Frank Vogel doesn't have a handle on the team. He doesn't have their confidence. Guess what? Frank Vogel is not the problem. He's not the problem. The roster is the problem, and that's not even James Jones's fault. The owner made those two big trades. He wanted the credit for it when he came in, so now you got to stick with it. It is the fault of the roster that the new ownership put together, and Matt Ishbia may go on to be one of our best owners. Mark Cuban didn't always make the best decisions when he came into the league, and then he became one of the owners that has been the most relied on before he sold his ownership stake in the team. Matt could have a great future in Phoenix, but this past year or so, what he's done, you have to look in the mirror. You cannot start leaking things about the coach. Frank Vogel got this team, which had no business being in the top half of the league defensively, into the top half of the league defensively. It is not his fault.
So that's pretty adamant. And several times during that clip, not his fault. But
again,
let's go further. Frank Vogel is a highly qualified NBA coach. We can all agree on that. And maybe it's not Frank Vogel being at fault, but it's the demeanor, the coaching style of Frank Vogel that's not meshing. If you want to point to it, you know, that's what I think more people are talking to.
Exactly. And if you if you were going to rewire this, you'd put a Mike D'Antoni type in charge of this basketball team. Now, I'm not saying go hire Mike D'Antoni. One of the Phoenix sports conditions is let's just throw our past at the present, and that'll fix everything.
Hey, that former member of our team is available.
Let's bring him back. Let's bring back Calais Campbell. Let's bring back. We do that all the time here. It's a sign of our immaturity as a sports market.
Mike D'Antoni is about to be 73.
That's right. But what I'm talking about is somebody who knows how to create dynamic offense and make it your identity. I'm going to get into this a few times today. That one of the things that I can't get away from in reflecting on this Timberwolves Suns series is how fooled we were by individual games between these two teams and how different it looked when it was a series. When we could see how much being an every play defensive team was the Timberwolves' identity and how misled we were in those individual games. Because they had something to lean on at all times. Suns never had that.
It is funny, though, then the solution be to get rid of your defensive coach?
Well, look again, it's you've got to serve your players. And when Bradley Beal can't go all the way and say, yes, he should be back, that is a function of the internal dynamics of a basketball team. If two stars are like, we are so done with this guy, theoretically speaking, we are so done with this guy, nobody in that room is going to go out the other way and say, oh, yeah, bring him back, because you're going against the alphas in the group.
Look,
and you can't do that.
It's internal.
We're talking about all this smoke that's out there, too, and the report was, you know, that came out was Kevin Durant was not happy with his role offensively with the Suns, but also the next step of that report was the team didn't feel Kevin Durant was vocal enough about it with the coaching staff.
A little passive aggressive, yeah.
A little bit.
Yeah, a little bit. Yeah, and again, it gets back to the whole, okay, so you're not happy again. Wow, where have we heard that before?
We will talk to Charles Barkley, who once on this very show referred to Kevin Durant as Mr. Miserable. So we'll get Chuck's thoughts on the season that was.
This has been a fire first half hour. if you just are tuning in now, you need to get to work and rewind and get on the podcast.
Or better yet, call in sick and listen to the rest of the show.
There you go, that too.
Coming up next, the Diamondbacks make history, franchise history last night, and not in a good way. We'll get into it in D-backs Daily. It's Bickley and Murata mornings here on Arizona Sports, the local sports leader.
Arizona Sports, the home of Arizona Diamondbacks baseball. D-backs Daily.
Game 30 of the season for the Arizona Diamondbacks brought visitors from the West to Los Angeles Dodgers to Chase Field and thousands of other fans. First of a three-game series and the initial matchup of 13 between the teams this season. Tommy Henry on the mound for Arizona, and he'd run into a spot of trouble right away. He allowed one-out singles to Shohei Ohtani and Freddie Freeman, but then responded by getting Will Smith to ground into a 5-3 double play. Dodgers got their first look at starter James Paxton, and they would get to work right away. Blaze Alexander led off with a walk. With one out, Ketel Marte doubled to center, sending Alexander to third, and that brought up Christian Walker.
2-2. Swing and a fly ball to deep center field. Pajes going back at the track near the overhang. He will make the catch. Alexander's going to tag from third and score easily. Walker's sack fly makes it 1-0.
Yeah, Chris Garagiola on the call. That would not last long, however. Teoscar Hernandez led off the second with an inning with a single, and then Henry plunked Mac Muncy. Runners on first and second for Kike Hernandez.
No balls and a strike. Henry throws. Swing and a ball hit towards pretty deep left field. Gurriel dives. It gets past him and it goes all the way to the wall. One run's going to score. They're going to hold Muncy at third, but it's a double by Hernandez that ties the game at one.
Double by Hernandez. Scores Hernandez. That's a lot of Hernandez damage right there. One.
Yeah, yeah.
One batter later, Andy Pajes hit a sack fly to center, scoring Muncy, and the Dodgers had their first lead. Then Henry walked Miguel Rojas and Mookie Betts to load the bases before getting Shohei Ohtani to hit into a 4-6-3 double play. Henry would get through four innings, left trailing 2-1. The Dodgers would extend their lead in the fifth. Andrew Salfrank on in relief, if you want to call it that. But he walked Ohtani, Freeman, and Smith with one out. Teoscar Hernandez stepped up and made those walks costly.
1-2. Hernandez swings, hits it towards right center field. That's going to get down and split the gap. A lot of runs are going to score. Ohtani crosses the plate. Freeman right behind him. Will Smith held it third. It is a two-run double. A ground rule double for Hernandez. And the Dodgers now lead it 4-1.
A lot of runs are going to score.
Yeah.
That would end Salfrank's night. Scott McGuff came in. And guess what he did? He walked Kike Hernandez with two out. Pajes came up with runners at second and third, and he tacked on.
And the first pitch is lined inside the left field line. That's a fair ball, extra bases. Will Smith scores. Teoscar Hernandez scores. Kike Hernandez holds it third, but two more are in for the Dodgers as they now lead it 6-1.
McGuff would walk Rojas, but then he'd get Betts to ground out to end the inning. D-backs would make things interesting in the fifth, still working against Paxton. Alexander drew a walk. Lourdes Gurriel doubled before Marte struck out, and Christian Walker drew a base on balls to load the bases for Gino Suarez.
The 1-1 is swung on. There's a liner. Base it into left field. Alexander will score, and being held at third is Gurriel. A wise decision. He'd have been gunned down at the plate. But Suarez with a knock brings in one. It's now 6-2.
Yeah, the D-backs weren't done as Paxton got a bit generous.
1-0. That chips away from the catcher Smith. Gurriel will score. 6-3.
And later in the at-bat, Randall Grichuk able to pull the D-backs to within two.
The 3-0. Grichuk swings. Hits it to deep center. Going back, Pajes. On the warning track, he will make the catch. But tagging are both runners. Walker from third and Suarez from second. Both are safe. And it's now 6-4.
And the Dodgers would answer right back in the sixth, working against Logan Allen. Two outs, bases empty. Allen facing Smith.
Here's the pitch. Swing and a fly ball. Will Smith deep center field. Carroll going back, turning, looking. This one is gone. Above the yellow line at dead center. That's where the grown men hit him. And for Smith, it's his third. And the Dodgers, they now lead 7-4.
Ohtani would add an RBI single in the eighth. That's the way it would end. 8-4 Dodgers in the opener.
Mm-hmm.
D-backs just managed one hit after the fifth inning.
Yep.
And that pitching staff again, 8 walks, failing to strike out a single batter. Third time in Diamondbacks history that's happened. And the first time since August 14th, 2015. They lost that night to the Braves. And this is really weird. The starting pitcher that night was Robbie Ray. Who was a strikeout pitcher.
How about it? That's, you wouldn't expect that at all.
Yeah, but here was Torrey Lovello on that, not registering a strikeout.
I'll give credit where credit is due. I mean, they got some good hitters on that team, but still, swing and miss is a part of this game, and no matter what, you expect to get a few over the course of a nine-inning game. But what does it mean? It means we weren't putting the ball on the plate and executing at the level that we needed to.
Yeah, here's my issue with the pitching staff last night. There just seemed to be a lot of fear in the ballpark of that Dodgers lineup, and maybe for good reason. They absolutely mauled the Diamondbacks last night. Torrey Lovello clearly taking Tommy Henry out of the game when he did. Tommy Henry barely threw over 70 pitches.
Yep.
Clearly, they didn't want to expose him to the Dodgers lineup a third time around. And we've seen that in the playoffs before. When you know you're hiding a weakness. That's when it manifests itself. When you will not let a pitcher see a lineup for the third time, that's a clear indication.
Especially in that situation, too, on a couple of fronts. The Dodgers lineup being exceptional. But also, it's not like it was smooth sailing for those 70-plus pitches over 4 innings. It was a 2-1 game, yes, but Henry...
He was on the tightrope the whole night.
Yeah, the whole time. Uh-huh. Henry was asked if he could have stayed in the game.
Do you feel like you could have pitched in the fifth if they sent you out there?
I mean, my job as a player is to go as hard as I can when I'm told to, and when I'm told to stop, I stop. I think every starting pitcher would tell you that they're willing to pitch into the ninth. That's just not how baseball works. And I compete when I'm out there, and when I'm not, that's when I stop.
Tommy Henry is very early in his career as a major leaguer, but he gets it already.
He does.
That question is, do you disagree with your manager?
Hey, no.
I ain't going there.
No. And then the fear was obvious also in just the nibbling. The fact that this pitching staff struck out nobody and then gave off 9 free passes when you count in the hit batter last night. That's quite something. No strikeouts plus 8 walks plus 1 hit batter. Those numbers ain't good.
No. In fact, Torrey Lovello said this about the pitching in general.
We didn't throw the ball that well today, and that was the difference in the game. I thought we had some really grinding moments offensively. We started to capitalize, get guys on. We had some slug. We had some good swings, good contact, good loud contact. And another place and time, you're going to score 4 or 5 runs, you're going to win a game. But today we just didn't execute on the mound. It was a lot of walks. It was limited swing and miss, which equaled no strikeouts. So that is not a good remedy to win baseball games. We got to pitch better. 5 walks in 1 inning is unacceptable. And we got to be better. It's the bottom line. It's identifiable. We know we got to put balls on the plate. We got to trust our stuff and execute and get outs. So that to me was a big difference in the game today.
Yeah.
Here's a stat that I read that I guess we realized this, but I didn't. It didn't sink in with me. Diamondbacks have not won the opening game of a series since that first set against the Rockies.
Wow. Whoops. That's I didn't realize that either.
And then you get on top of that, and they're now 13-17. You know my rule about getting 10 games over 500? There's a similar rule when you get 10 games under 500.
And we're also about 10 games away from that sort of benchmark where people say, okay, 40 games into the season, quarter of the way in, we could really start judging the team now.
Yeah, that's certainly coming up. People look at Memorial Day as kind of a checkpoint, too.
And I get it. We're all very sensitive to the injuries and the adversity and the very hard schedule out of the gate for this team. But you got to keep this thing on the rails.
Yeah, and it's been a really long time since we played a Corbin Carroll highlight in D-backs Daily.
Get his blue pit to center last night.
He did get the hit, yes. But he did hit a couple of balls hard on outs. In fact, one in the eighth inning, hit it 102.4 miles an hour, and it would have been a home run in 17 of 30 balls.
Okay, well, that's
just
good.
Not Chase Field.
All right, well, that's good.
At least there was a little bit of sunshine there. But,
okay.
Man, the Dodgers will take that sunshine away still.
Yeah. Yeah, because right now you're on pace for 92 losses. Now, it's an absurd stat, but this is what happens when you start getting that negative creep going. Four games under five games under five. Six. You got to stop that.
Negative creep. I've been called that on social media a lot. That series continues tonight with Jordan Montgomery on the mound. And good news, Zach Gallen is making his start tomorrow. Won't miss any time after he left his last start in Seattle.
Can he start every game? Him and Jordan Montgomery?
Yeah, just
alternate.
Softball style. Turn into old Hoss Radburn. Yeah,
yes.
Pitching staffs were one guy back in the day. That's the way we liked it.
Yeah.
Coming up next, the NBA is always looking for its next big star. And they may have found it this postseason. We'll get into that and more next. It's Bickley and Murata Mornings here on Arizona Sports, the local sports leader. Hey, it's Gambo. The long off season for the Phoenix Suns has begun. What items should be at the top of their to-do list? We'll discuss on today's Burns and Gambo show, 2-6 on Arizona Sports.
113-111. Ant one-on-one against Bradley Beal. Beats some baseline. Rises and hammers. What a finish by Anthony Edwards. Big time dunk by Ant. 27 points in the second half. And he rocks the rim and oohs and ahs even from the Suns fans here in the building.
Man, it felt great, man. Like, I got the utmost respect for KD, man. Like, he comes in and compete every night. I watch every last one of his games since I've been about five. So, you know, I love that guy, man. And I'm excited to play with him this summer, man. Talk a little trash and let him know I sent him home.
Anthony Edwards on TNT, obviously his dunk. That is what you call punctuation.
It is.
He punctuated the Timberwolves sweep, that win on Sunday night. With that dunk over Bradley Beal was spectacular in the second half, 31 points to put the Suns away. Got the little dig in at KD. The utmost respect. I've watched every one of his games since I'm five because that's how old KD is.
Yeah, right? Yeah. I don't think he meant it like that, though. Do you?
I felt that.
Did you? Okay.
He kind of, he referred to him in expletive form as old and a certain body part of his being old.
Yeah. But KD doesn't feel that at all. KD came out and said, I love this guy. He's my favorite young player to watch. So he didn't feel it.
Yeah. At the time when KD said that after game one, he's like, that's just basketball. But at some point, doesn't it have to bother you? Like, not only is this kid talking trash at me, he's kicking my backside.
Well, listen, I'm going to tell you this. Whether you like that side of him or you don't like that side of him, he is the hot new thing in the NBA. And this series against the Denver Nuggets is a big-time opportunity for him to further that. And I did a ton of reading on this yesterday, and there are a lot of people gravitating to this kid's charisma, his personality, the fact that he smiles a lot, and if he strikes you otherwise, I think you're in the minority, and I mean that respectfully. I think people look, and it's interesting to me because the NBA right now, you talk about the best player, and it's Nikola Jokic, right? And it's Luka Doncic, and there's a lot of foreign-born European players that don't necessarily have a ton of sizzle to their game. They have a lot of substance to their game, but this Anthony Edwards kid is kind of old school like that. He's kind of bringing people back to, you know, Dominique Wilkins, Michael Jordan, this high-flying, bouncy, taunty kind of guy that, yeah, all right, let's go, man. What you got? And I think this guy is busting out right now, Vinny.
He is, and even during the series, I was getting a little irked because I thought the ascension, the coronation of Anthony Edwards was happening way too quick. And even in the first three games of the Sun series, I thought he was getting a lot of adoration for not really. He wasn't the most impactful Minnesota Timberwolf in the first three games of the season or the series. I don't watch every Minnesota Timberwolf game.
Yeah, me neither.
And again, I watched him play against the Suns this year, and I walked away going, "Yeah, he's very talented." And I've said that throughout his entire career. What he did on Sunday night was, "Hey, look at me. I'm going to carry this team to the win." And I know they talked about it on the radio broadcast, John Bloom and Tim Kempton. It just felt like he was not going to let the Timberwolves lose that game.
Yeah.
Even if there was more time, if it went to overtime, he was going to make the big play. That dunk was spectacular. And look, I don't, generally speaking, this is not an anti-Anthony Edwards sentiment that I have. I don't like the showy, talky players. Mm-hmm. You know that about
me. I do know that, yes.
But he's fantastic. And his will to win, his drive, his bravado and brashness is going to serve him very well.
Yeah. One of the cool things, if and I know you're going to get around to watching this because I've referenced this before, the press conference he did with Karl-Anthony Towns when he was just so, he just exuded such leadership in how he was telling the media to Karl-Anthony Towns' face to quit bleeping fouling. What is wrong? Just stop bleeping fouling. But he also went out and said, this guy's the best offensive player on our team. So it's not like Anthony Edwards is walking around thinking he's all that, even though I'm sure he does. He, in this press conference, he said, this is the guy with the most offensive skill, and we need him on the floor. And I'm like, wow. And this is because, like you, my opinion of Anthony Edwards was skewed based on what I saw him do against the Suns in the regular season, and it wasn't much. And I thought, okay, yeah, this guy's, there's a lot of overinflation going on here. But you step back and you start to listen, you start to look at what he did for that team when Karl-Anthony Towns went down, and the way his game is affecting people, it's pretty clear to me that the NBA is yearning for a new face. That maybe basketball fans, and I'm not saying it just from a jingoistic standpoint, that, oh, we need it to be an American. But when Nikola Jokic and his style and Luka and his style, it's not the high-flying, jaw-dropping brand of basketball. And when you see it, you're like, I miss that, and I want more of that. At least I do.
I think you hit on something that's pretty interesting, is basketball is better because of the global influence. And these foreign-born players, regardless if they're born in Africa, if they're born in Europe, coming to the best league in the world has added another layer of intrigue to the league. And the NBA would never say this publicly, but you're right. It's been a long time since the best player in the NBA Indeed. Was an American-born star. It's got to be LeBron, right?
Yeah.
And that American-born star brings fatigue with him because people get tired of him.
Yes.
This will be the sixth straight year that the MVP is not American.
Is it six in a row?
Yeah. Because it was twice Giannis, twice Jokic.
And once Embiid.
Yeah. Embiid. Yeah. Jokic yeah. is probably going to win it yeah. again. Yeah.
And I think that Giannis for a while.
All three finalists.
Giannis for a while, when he won that title, I thought, oh, this guy is so relatable and quirky and funny. But he's kind of taken a step back in perception. The whole getting the coach fired and I don't know.
Not being able to play a minute in
not
the playoffs.
Being, right, not
point.
Being able to play a minute in the playoffs. Yeah, so I think that this is a, yeah, the NBA will not say this, but this is what the NBA wants. And this is what you're going to get in this series. You're going to get the best player in the game who is a European, foreign-born, and Nikola Jokic, who is very, very decorated against this up-and-coming dude with all this swag.
Mm-hmm. And it's interesting, too, because Denver's not going to go into this series fully healthy.
Yeah,
Palmer
right.
played through it last night. That was a very studly performance by him.
But yeah.
Kentavious Caldwell-Pope got hurt in that game, too. They got a little time before the next round starts, which might even the field. But Minnesota came away pretty unscathed outside of Kyle Anderson's hip
pointer. Right about that.
And they didn't really need him in that series. One last point on Anthony mm-hmm. Edwards. Have you watched the Adam Sandler movie Hustle?
I have not.
The basketball movie?
I have not.
Anthony Edwards was really good in that movie as Kermit Wiltz. But he wasn't playing a character. That was Anthony Edwards. So if you watch that movie and you see how he behaves in that movie on the court, that's pretty much who he is.
Okay. All right. I'll check it out.
He covers it, and you hit on it. Again, I'm not ripping him for it. He covers up the amount of trash talk and disrespect he gives to his opponents with the smile.
With the smile.
And with the personality.
Okay.
And I think a lot of people around the league actually enjoy it.
That explains a lot to me that you've had a real deep dive into what this kid is all about because of that, movie.
If you want to go deep on anything, all you have to do is watch a Sandler movie. I've been saying that for years.
You've been living it.
You want to know how relationships really work? Yeah. Watch a Sandler movie. Yeah. Coming up next, if you are a fan of the Phoenix Suns, you might want to grab a mask because there is a lot of smoke around this team. We'll get into some of that smoke next. Bickley and Murata mornings here on Arizona Sports, the local sports leader.
This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.